Thanks, Jacqueline. Love barbecues. Do we? Well, let's rephrase it too, first of all. The 9 o'clock service, we're doing pancakes and sauce. So it's a pancake, you're like barbecue, like who wants a hamburger right about, I mean, I do, but I don't know if you do. So we love eating, we love having fun. So in a couple weeks, you guys are going to have pancakes and sausage and all those things out there. We'll have a band, it'll be fun. Love to get together, have a service, connect with each other, have fun. That's what we're about as a church. Also want to remind you, community nights, they're always open. You know, and so you can jump in. It's the beauty of community nights. You come in, have a meal, get to know people. And so show up this Tuesday night. It's great. We bring chefs in from all over the world. We're bringing a guy from Italy in. It's going to be awesome. And so last week we had tacos. And then this week, I don't know if we were planning on it, but now we're having Italian food. Okay. I have a long sleeve shirt. Was it cold this morning or is it warm or how is it? It was freezing this morning. And I'm such a... This is what wimps we are. Did anyone see the Olympics? You know, anyone like opening ceremony? Did you see the guy with no shirt on? Like who are you? Like lathered up in this stuff that was like oil and everything. When I put the shirt on this morning, I go, you are such a wimp. That guy was. Side note with the Olympics, I'm a sports nut. Do we not hate curling or what? Like, what is that? Who even said? You know, who even said that? You know, who said that is a sport? So it's this combination between shuffleboard and sweeping out the garage. I mean, like, what the, you know, just makes me irritated. Okay. No one else? Does anyone else? Yeah. I'm with you. Like, okay. Hey, we're in a new series, and the new series is called Crazy World. And here's the great thing about Crazy World. I have a little fun thing to play with. Oh, look at it, says my name. Is that gonna say, does that go away? Sorry, next time. Oops, what the heck, and our nursing and cry rooms are, how did this happen to me? Okay, please silence your cell phones. Anyone, am I really doing this right now? What's next? You know, oh, thank you, okay. We're going to use this for this series. Hopefully it'll be helpful because I want to show you guys some things as we do this series. As you think about Crazy World, we're going with this idea that as you think about like the term crazy, there are all these things in our lives, and you can kind of have two perspectives on these things in our lives. In some ways you can say, oh, that's crazy. And sometimes you can say, oh, that's crazy, and it's a good thing. Sometimes you can say, oh, that's crazy. And it's a bad thing. So we're going to be in this series, and we're going to look at this part of our life that you can look at it two ways. It could either be good or it can be bad. And when the series is over, it's 3 weeks. Give me 3 weeks as we unpack this series and we go through it. And you're going to, at the end of the third week, you're going to have the opportunity, you pick your crazy. Which crazy do you want to live? You can live one way or you can live the other. Now, the series is not on being crazy. The series is on money. The series is, and maybe a little bit more specifically, generosity. So like we say, there's two sides of the coin. Right now, as you sit here and you heard the word money or generosity, one side of the coin is you're thinking, really? I got up to church and came here and dragged myself here. It was freezing this morning, and I got to hear a talk on money. Okay, so that's one side of the coin. You're thinking, ah, criminy. And then the other side of the coin, you might be here, oh, good, money. It's an important part of my life. It's this great dilemma in life of how we navigate it. So there's two sides of the coin in that. And so hopefully, maybe by the time we're done with this 3 weeks, you will have the sense of, ah, that was good. That worked. That was right. Jesus, when he gives, you know, he went around and he gave a lot of messages, and most of Jesus' messages worked. Most of them were great. You know, Jesus actually gave a message that, you know, kind of got away from him. You know, kind of got a little loose with it. I don't know. No, let me rephrase that. Okay, that's the wrong way. Jesus does not get loose with messages. Okay. Okay. He gave a message that didn't go over well. And as people are listening to it, they're like, what's he talking about? Or this is crazy, or I don't want to hear that. And so what happened is, look what I got here. Okay, from this time, many of the disciples turned back and no longer followed him. You do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. So everyone's leaving. Everyone's walking away because they don't like the topic of what he's talking about. So my prayer and hope is these guys all checked out, not the disciples, they didn't want, but the other people, they checked out because they did not like the topic. My prayer and hope is that this is not my John 6 series where you guys go, oh man, we're talking 3 weeks on money or generosity, I'm checking out. So hang in there, hang with us, because it's gonna be a great series. It's a series on generosity. Now here's something interesting. This is a series on something that you already do well. I say it all the time, you are so generous. I say it all the time, you guys are incredibly generous. But what we're gonna do when we look at this area of generosity is we're going to look a little deeper into it. And what we're going to do is we're also going to look at it under the thought and idea of this is a lifestyle. This is not generous moments. This is not even giving moments. This is the idea that this is a lifestyle that we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about finances and this idea that it's a heart thing. It's a heart thing. You know, Jesus actually said this. He says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Meaning this, if you want to know where people's heart is, look at where their treasures go. Look at where their money goes. So if you look at me, and if you look at me and you go, I wonder what his heart's like. If you want to check where my heart is, you don't look at my Bible and see where I've highlighted. Those are just colored, you know, colored pens. You don't even listen to my messages. This is just preparation. This is potentially, hopefully it's not, it's a heart thing. But if you looked at it, it could be just potentially preparation. If you want to look and know where my heart is, check my checkbook. Check my credit cards. Where is my money going? Because where our money goes, there our heart goes also. So when we talk about generosity, we're talking about a heart thing. We're talking about a lifestyle. This also is not talking about random acts of giving. We're all good at random acts of giving. We're not talking about that. You know, like 3 weeks ago, I'm watching TV, and have you seen the commercial with the shivering dogs? And I love dogs, but it's the shivering dog, and you know, the homeless shelter for the dogs and stuff. And so, you know, where's my credit card? Because I see that and I want to give to it. And there's nothing wrong with giving. There's nothing wrong with random acts of giving, obviously, but this is not talking because we all do that. Because those can be emotional things, that we see something, like the dog, and I go, I want to give to that. Or we hear something, we go, okay, it sounds compelling, I want to give to that. But this, when we talk about generosity, we talk about it being a lifestyle, a lifestyle. And my prayer for all of us is, by the time we're done these 3 weeks, you start to look at your lifestyle. You start to look at money. Start to see generosity, and maybe even starts to trigger or do something in the way you live your life, in which to the effect that at the end you go, wow, that's crazy. That's crazy, my new attitude. That's crazy, my new heart. That's crazy, my new way of thinking of what it means to do with my finances and what it means to be generous. Now, I want to use a definition. Here's a definition. This is a definition. I heard a pastor give this definition, and I really liked it. I don't think it's not pithy, but it really kind of defines what we're talking about. Generosity, the premeditated, calculated, designated emancipation of personal finances. The premeditated, calculated, designated emancipation of personal financial assets. The premeditated, meaning, when it comes to being generous, premeditated, meaning this is thought out. There's a plan. There's a plan with generosity. The second thing, calculated. How much? There's an amount that you know. There's a plan that you have. Designated. You know where it's going. You know when, how much, and where it's going. And I love this, emancipation. Meaning you are setting your money free. Meaning in order for our possessions not to possess us, we come to the realization that we are not possessors. that we don't own it, but we are stewards of it by God, and we are setting it free. The pre-meted, calculated, designated emancipation of personal financial assets. I think it's great definition of generosity. Now, here's the crazy thing we do with money. This is the reality of money, and you may not realize this. There's two things we do. One has to do with this. The first thing is this. Do you realize, you may not do this, we spend more than we make. Now, you may not do that, but you know how the world operates? Do you know how, if I had you guys raise your hand, like, who's spending more than they make? You know, I'm not asking. We would all, a lot of us say, we spend more than we make, and that is what? That's crazy. But we do it. Here's the other thing. When we buy items, when we buy things, you know what happens? The moment we buy something, at the moment of purchase, you know what happens? Because of interest, the second we buy it, it starts costing us more. And the second we buy it, it starts to lose value. So we buy things. And when we buy things, the moment we buy it, it starts costing us more and be worth less. And we buy things like that. And we do things like that. And you know what? The reality is, that's crazy. That's how we operate with our money. And so what we want to do is we want to start to kind of unpack this and see what's a strategy in dealing with that. Now, I want to talk through four myths. This is four myths of generosity. So when we think about generosity, these are four myths that, you know, we kind of get caught up on. First myth is this: generosity is spontaneous. Now, generosity, we're looking at it as a lifestyle. So there are moments in time when we give, and that's spontaneous. Remember last week I talked about going to the yogurt shop, and there was a kid without money, and so I bought his yogurt, and my daughter was all excited. So that was spontaneous, but that was spontaneous giving. Generosity is not spontaneous, because when we learn to be generous, we actually have a plan. Here's the reality. The more you get this as generosity in a lifestyle, you actually become less spontaneous, because you actually have a plan. You know, there'll be times when, like, I'll leave the supermarket and people want money. And so it's like, gosh, do I give or not give, or what do I do? My answer is, you know what, that is so awesome what you guys are doing. You know, I give to our church because we do the exact same thing like that, or I give to this group of people, or I give to this because it actually does the same thing. So it's this idea, it's a plan of generosity, and you actually, at times, aren't as spontaneous. Second thing is this: generosity is determined by cash flow. That's a myth, because what happens if our generosity is determined by cash flow? Sometimes we can be generous, sometimes we can't. Sometimes we can be generous, and sometimes we can't. So it's coming to grips with what is an amount that we feel comfortable that falls in line with the way that we make or don't make money, and it fits with the way that we can be generous. It's not cash flow dependent. Because there's not times where we can or we can't. Third thing is this: it's the amount that counts, and we do this all the time. Someone will come and they'll do this, give these big gifts. And what do we say? Oh, they're so generous. Oh, that's so generous. And they are, and it's awesome, and I love big, you know, trust me. Okay, but those are great things, and I'm not knocking any form of giving in any way. But what I'm saying is, we say big gifts are generous, small gifts aren't. And that's not true. It depends where people are. There could be someone who's, you know, they don't have much, and they don't make much, and they're really in a hard place, and they give a little. And that might be the most incredibly generous thing that they can do. So generosity does not matter. It's not always the amount that counts. And finally, rich people are generous. That's a myth. You know, we think, oh, rich people are generous. We think, gosh, once I get rich, I am going to become generous. That's the game we play. And the reality is this. It's not how much money you have. It's not I wait to be rich to be generous. It's the fact that you have a plan, you have an idea, you have an amount, you have a strategy, and it fits within your lifestyle, and you create this lifestyle of generosity. Okay? What we're going to do is then, we're going to look at a parable. We're going to look at a parable that explains this. And it's this great way of looking at it, and it affects what we do with our money, and affects how we deal with generosity. And we're going to look at this parable that's found, if you want to turn to your Bibles, in Matthew chapter 25. This is what it says in verse 14. It says this. It says, "Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them." So what you do when you see this passage is, and again, it'll be like a man going on a journey who called his servants. So remember, whenever you look at a parable, you always try to figure out, okay, who's God and who's God and who am I? You know, where's God and where am I in this parable? So when you look at this parable, it will be like a man, man's God, who called his servants. His servants are us. So we're his servants. Now, you may know this passage in different ways where it uses the word talents. So when you see talents, a talent is typically a year's wage. So it's a big chunk of money. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and has trusted his wealth to them. Verse 15. "To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money." So a few questions. First thing is this. Who has bags? Of the servants, who has bags? They all have bags, okay? So the answer is they all have bags. So let's look at this. In listening to what we just said, of the servants, who has bags? They all have bags. Okay, question. Number 2. Where did the bags come from? Where did the bags come from? The bags came from the master. Remember my first question, like, you have to find out who is us and who is God. Who is God in the parable? The master. Okay, so the reality is this. When you see the bags all came from the master, what do we realize? That all that we have comes from God. All we have comes from God. And it is important to realize. It's an important point to this. This is not like 2 guys got bags and the 1 guy didn't. They all got bags because it all comes from the master. Now, the dangerous answer to it, to where did the bags come from, is thinking that, oh, they're from us. Oh, we made it. Oh, we did it. Oh, it's our money. Because the second we start to believe that or think that, we think, my money, mine, to do how I see fit, and I'll do whatever I want, and you stay the heck away from my money. That's our mentality. That's our thinking. But we see that these are from these are from the master. Okay, we're going on to verse 19. "After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." So you see in this passage, the master comes back, and the master is excited, the master is happy, because this guy was wise with his money. Verse 22. "The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I've gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." So you have these 2 guys, and they do good. And how does the master feel about it? The master is happy. The master is happy because what God has entrusted with them, they have been incredibly wise. Verse 24. "The man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. Verse 25. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you, his master replied. His master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Verse 27. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back from interest. Verse 28. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them, and throw that worthless servant outside into darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So you hear this response by the master, and there's actually two big contrasts from how the master responds. For the first two, the master is like, he's happy. He's excited. He's happy and excited because he has given them something and they have been wise with it. Now there's another response from the master. And the other response from the master is something that answers that question. Does God really care what we do with our money? Does God really care with what we do with what he gives us? And the answer is yes. God cares how we use it. Now here's the other reality. You have two responses from the servants. You have two responses from the servants. What was the thing that impacted the servant's response? Think about that. You heard the servant. You saw what they did, and they gave a response on why they did it. What was the thing that impacted the response of the servants? It was what? It was their view of God. It was their view of the master. The first two, they adored the master. They thought he was great. They thought he was awesome. And they went out and did great. Now, while the third servant, then the man who received one bag of gold came, master, I knew that what? How did the third servant view God? I'm sorry, view the master, God. He viewed him as what? A hard man. He's a hard man. Harvesting where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid. So I see you as a hard man. So I am afraid. And so I hunkered down and I didn't know what to do with it because I thought you would be out to get me, or I thought if I messed up that you would be mad at me. And so he viewed him as a hard, harsh man, and he was afraid of him. First two guys, they took joy in what they did because they knew how the master was. The third guy sees him as a harsh man. Now, three foundations that dictate what we do. The first one is this. As we think about our money, as we think, do we truly believe that God owns it all and that we are stewards of it? Do we truly believe that all the bags came from the master? Where did you get your bag? Came from the master. Second thing, do we truly believe that God wants us to use it wisely? And then here's the third one. This is the one that's kind of the key point. Do we truly believe that God is a good God? What's our view of the master? What's our view of God? That's the question. Baylor University, the religious department, they did a study. They did this foundational study, and they wanted to know three things. They wanted to know three things and that kind of answered the question. And it answered the question of how God loves the world, how God judges the world, and how God engages the world. So they ran the study. And so what they did is they figured out that they can split people into four theological groups. So they split people into four theological groups. The first group they split them into is the authoritative God, that God is both engaged and judgmental. So that's one group. The second group is the benevolent God, that God is engaged yet non-judgmental. The third group is the critical God. God is judgmental but disengaged. And the fourth group is the distant God. Non-judgmental, but he's disengaged. So you look at all these responses. These are how they broke the four people up, because they're trying to decide what is their view of God. So you look at all of these. The only one that you really want is this, right? Everything else is, he's a harsh, mean master, essentially. The benevolent God, he's engaged, but he's not judgmental. God is with me, and he's not out to get me. That's the one. This is their responses. The authoritative God, 31% chose that. The benevolent God, 24% chose that. The critical God, 24% chose that. The distant God, 16% chose that. And 5% were atheists. There is no God. They left it out. Out of this whole thing, only 24% of the people viewed God as, he's a good God who's with me and loves me and cares about me. Remember, back to the parable. What was the thing that impacted everything? It was their view of God. How do they view God? Because how they view God impacted what they did with their money, what they did with their bags. Here's the question. Where do you stand? Where do you stand? How do you view God? How do you see God? Do you see God as a good God who's with you and cares, but he's not out to get you? He wants to help you. Do you see God like that? Or is he a harsh God? Or is he the kind of God that he just wants to take everything that I have or everything that I make, or he wants me to be humble? You know, you can have all these things and these mentalities of God. The view of God dictates how those guys dealt with the master. Our view of God dictates how we deal with money in response to the world and life and our generosity. Is God good? Does God care? Is God with me? And here's the most important one when it comes to money. Can God be trusted? Can God be trusted? Because what's the deal with money? Come on. Because, you know, everyone says love makes the world go round. Yeah, okay, it does. But money helps. I'm with you. Okay? I get that. And our dilemma and wrestling match in life is what? Who or what are we going to trust? And I'll tell you what, out of anything in this world to trust that helps me get through life, money seems to work the best. I don't know if it also runs you into a big ditch. I get all that. But that's the wrestling match that we all have to have and deal with it. It's like, is God a good God that loves us, that can be trusted, or do I have to trust something else? And money seems to work the best. That's our wrestling match with God. And so when we think about those things, we think our view of God matters. Because if we can say, God's good, and he's with you, and he loves you, and he can be trusted. Now, in closing, there's a great verse. There's a great verse. And what this verse will do is it will help to answer the question, how does God feel about me? And how does God want me to handle my money? This is a verse that Paul quotes, and Paul quotes Jesus. Now, Paul, when he gives this verse, he is in Ephesus. And remember, Paul started all these churches through the Mediterranean, so he's at this church in Ephesus, and he's talking to them. And he's talking to them because he's going to go back to Jerusalem, and when he goes back to Jerusalem, he knows he's going to get arrested. He knows that he'll never see these guys again. So Paul, in the context of this verse that we're going to see, he talks about his life, and he talks about all that he did. And he did this, and he did this, and he did. And essentially what he's saying is, I led a generous life. Not in a boasting way, but he goes, I led this generous life. And essentially what he's saying is, and I want you too. And I want you to lead a generous life too. So in the context of all the things that he does, and all this idea that he led this generous life, this is the verse, the statement that Paul says. And remember the words of Lord Jesus that he himself said, it is more blessed to give than receive. it is more blessed to give than receive. And we've heard this before, right? You know, sometimes when we'll give somebody something, or we'll give somebody money, or we'll do something, and you know, and they'll want to pat us on the back, and we'll think to ourselves, and we'll say the line, you know, like they say, it's better to give than receive. And we think, you know, then we don't, now we realize, okay, Jesus said it. Now we can say, like Jesus said, at least, it's better to give than receive. But that's what Paul is trying to say. He's trying to remind us. Now, it's interesting. This word, blessed, or how, this is how we might know it, blessed, is more blessed to give than receive. The word blessed, that word actually, if you look at it in the Greek, means blessed. It also means fortunate, and it also means happy. It is more blessed, or you'll be more fortunate, or you'll be more happy. That's how the word in the Greek means. That's what it says. So here's the question. Do you want to have a happy life? Do you want to lead a blessed life? Do you want to feel fortunate? Then Paul's saying, then be generous. Then be generous. And remember, the context in which Paul says this is through a lifestyle of his. This was not a one-shot thing. This was not like, gosh, remember that one time I did that? Do that, guys. No, he talks about his whole lifestyle. And then he says, I want you to lead that same lifestyle too. Essentially, this is how you could say it. Blessed or happy is the person whose life is ordered around giving rather than receiving. That is a definition of what it means to be generous, and it becomes a lifestyle, and it becomes a way of living. Do you know what God wants for you? He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to feel fortunate. God wants to bless you. You know what God is? God is a good master who cares about you, who wants only what's best for you. That's what God is. That's how God is. He says, I want you to be happy. And the way to have happiness and to feel blessed and to feel fortunate, you think it's to get. But it's better for you to give. Give than receive. God loves you, and he cares about you, and he's for you. That should be our view of God. That should be your view of God. And I'm not just saying that because like a parable talks about it. You know what? That parable we looked at talks about it. You know, something in our life screamed it. Screamed it. And you know what it did? 2,000 years ago, Jesus went to a cross, and he died for you. And God said, I want to make it perfectly clear how much I love you, perfectly clear how much I care for you, perfectly clear that I have your best interest in mind. And he did it so much that he went to a cross, and he died for you and me. My prayer for all of us in this series is this, that we will have this understanding and view of God, that God loves you and he's with you and he cares for you and he wants you to have a blessed life. And God has given you things, and you look at all the stuff you have, and we have so much, and all the things we have, it is of God and is from God because he loves you. And you know what he cares about? He goes, now will you be wise with it? Now will you be generous with it? Will you be generous? Not because of any reason more than I want you to be blessed. I want you to feel what it means to be fortunate and be loved. And not only will you be blessed, but you will bless others. That's my goal for all of us, that we live in such a way that people will look at us and we are so generous that people go, you guys are crazy. And you'll think to yourself, yeah, we are. We're crazy. And the crazy part about our life is we didn't do this sooner, or we didn't think this way sooner, because this is a way of living life that God has called us to be. So we're going to do this for 3 weeks, and we're going to unpack it, and the last week it's going to get really practical. This is what you need to know about the third week. We are not passing a plate, don't worry. You know, this is not do like this generous series and then we pass it. No, it's not. This is about a generous lifestyle that we feel like is life-changing for you because we are wrestling with the most difficult and challenging thing to wrestle in life, and that's with money. And God wants you to be blessed. Okay? Let me pray for us. God, we are so grateful, Lord, of your love for us. And we confess to you, Lord, so many things we confess. The first thing, Lord, is sometimes we hesitate in our view of you. There's those in this room that they see you as harsh. They see you as critical. They see you as judgmental, that you're out to get. And may, Lord, may this morning just dispel that. May what you did on the cross just dispel that. You are good, loving God. And Lord, we are in this wrestling match because we oftentimes trust our money more than you, and we confess that. And so we want to trust you more. We want to trust you more, Lord, because what you tell us, Lord, and you say to us is that it is there that we will find happiness and be blessed and be used. And that's what you want for us, Lord. So help us, Lord, to understand that. Help us to get that into our heart and then live that out in our lives, God. I pray that for everyone here in this room. I pray that for me. In Jesus' name, amen.